I did have a conversation yesterday I want to pass on to you. This is a little bit more philosophic in nature, and I like to save those for the first commentary because this is largely my podcast crowd, which are, I think, a little more on balance, more sophisticated and careful. Maybe careful is not the right word, but they've been around more. They traffic in some of these ideas more effectively. So I wanted to pass some thoughts on to you about the notion of God's omniscience and determinism. I had a conversation with a dear brother yesterday, and it was a lively one. We weren't on the same side of the theological issue on a couple of things, but we had a wonderful conversation. It was very friendly and collegial, and we both enjoyed it immensely. I mean, those kind of conversations are possible, friends, with brothers or sisters in Christ with whom you have strong differences. If you keep your cool and mind your manners and are careful about your words and think carefully and listen to what the other person is saying, these can be very, very productive conversations. Somebody might learn something instead of banging heads. But in any event, the issue was on the question of God's omniscience and what ramifications it had for human freedom. And my friend was making a mistake that was a philosophic mistake that, in my view, he did not have enough training in the discipline in order to see the mistake he was making. And so I was trying to offer him some background information so that he could see that at least the way he was trying to make his particular point, this particular way was not an effective way, and it created some problems. And here's the basic way that he argued. He asked, does God know everything in the future? The answer is yes. Now, when did God learn what was going to happen in the future? The answer is God never learned it. There never was when he didn't know. He always knew it. God doesn't learn these things, right? He knows everything in the future. He never learned it. So from God's perspective in eternity past, the future has been fixed, has it not? Well, yes, that's true. Therefore, is there anything someone can do in the future from us right now that could change what God knows to be future? And the answer is no, because if anybody could change it, then that would mean that God got it wrong. He knew the wrong thing. We change it, and then God's got to adjust his understanding based on this change that we cause by our free will. And so I'm following along the whole way, but then he states the conclusion, which may seem obvious, certainly did to him at the time, and may seem obvious to you, but it's the conclusion that I'm taking exception with now, and I'll explain why. The conclusion then is that there is no freedom, because everything is predetermined. Now, he ended up arguing that there was freedom, and he's trying to fix the problem in another way, but this is how he set the thing up, and this was the part that I disagreed with. Whatever you want to say about how you reconcile human freedom with God's sovereignty and the decrees and all of that stuff, you're off to a bad start with this illustration, because it leads to other problems if we buy this notion. I think it's going to be very difficult to avoid at least the implications he was suggesting that the future is strictly determined in virtue of God's omniscience. And indeed, atheists have raised this question. If God is God, he knows everything. If he knows everything, then he knows the whole future. If he knows the whole future, the future can't change. The future is therefore fixed. The future is therefore determined. Therefore, you are determined, and therefore you have no freedom. Well, that seems to flow, doesn't it? And that puts us in a bind, because we're the ones who are arguing for freedom, in some sense at least, some reasonable sense, adequate enough to ground our bad choices so that we're guilty, and adequate enough to ground our faith, our active faith in Christ, which the Bible calls for. So we are saying people are guilty, and therefore they must act by believing in Jesus to receive forgiveness. The atheist is saying, yes, but you believe in omniscience. that means everything's determined, which means you can't choose anything and you can't be guilty because you didn't choose bad things. See the problem? And indeed, if you're from the Christian side of things, this is why some Christians have gone towards open theism. Because they say, look, if God does know everything, then he knows your so-called free will choices in the future, which means then they would no longer be free choices. And since open theists are deeply concerned about rescuing a sense of freedom, particularly libertarian freedom here, the most robust sense of freedom, then they're going to push back at this. They say, well, then God doesn't know everything. God doesn't know free will acts of human beings in the future because they are unknowable. And that's called open theism. Now, that compromises God's omniscience, it seems to me. But that's a problem. Do you see why they go there? Because they're trying to avoid the problem that omniscience seems to provide or seems to create regarding determinism. But the problem here is that there's been a misstep, and that's the misstep that I want to explain to you so you're not caught in it in the future. Now, it requires me to explain some things about that are philosophic in nature, but I'm going to give you some tools that are accessible so that you can see what went wrong. Now, one caveat, even after having given you these tools, it might be that you still don't get it, and that's okay, because this is not entirely an easy concept. It's a little bit esoteric, and it relates to the difference between something being logically prior and temporally prior. What do I mean by logically prior? Well, the number two is logically prior to number three, all right? It doesn't happen before number three in time. It happens before number three in logical numerical order, all right? There's no time involved there, but one can still come before the other. So the notion of before and after is not just a time notion, but it also relates to abstract things that in which time is not involved, okay? All right, so with that in mind, and a temporal priority means that something comes before another in time. So, I come to the studio before I start talking on the radio. So there is a temporal order there. Now, I want to give you an illustration that is necessary to understand in order to see the problem that I just described a few moments ago, or a problem with the issue that I described about determinism and God's omniscience. Because I think all of the things, all of the questions that, and all the points that were made with the questions that my friend offered yesterday are completely true with regards to God's omniscience until you get to the point of the conclusion of determinism, and that's a mistake. Determinism in the sense there's no freedom. And he made a mistake there that is tied to this notion of temporal priority, temporally prior, and logically prior. So I want you to picture a couch and a bowling ball. And you take the bowling ball that you have in your hand and you set it on the couch, such that the couch is holding the bowling ball up. The couch is the cause for the bowling ball being in the position that it's in. So you have placed the ball there, but that it sits in that location is because the couch is holding it up in that spot. So you have a temporal order there, don't you? You have the couch, and then you have the bowling ball sitting on the couch, such that the couch is the cause, even temporally, the thing that comes before the position, the location of the bowling ball sitting on the couch. All right? So there is a temporal order there. First the couch, then the couch with the bowling ball on it. One comes before the other. Okay. Notice that it is the couch that is holding up the ball. Now I want you to just imagine that ball on that couch from eternity. Let's say it's always there. It never got placed upon the couch. It just was always sitting on the couch. Wouldn't it still be the case that the couch is the cause of the location of the ball resting on it? Sure. So there is a sense in which the couch comes before the ball, but it doesn't come before the ball in time because it's always been that way. The cause and the effect are simultaneous in terms of temporality or time. However, it is the couch that is, and here's my language that I want you to get, logically prior to the ball's position. One thing comes before the other, not in time, but in logical priority. That is, it is the couch that is the cause of the effect of the ball being held up there. But the couch was always there and the ball was always there. The before or the cause or the couch coming before the ball's position is a logical order, not a temporal order. Okay. Now, I'm not talking here about couches and bowling balls, of course. I'm just using that as an illustration for you to understand the distinction between a temporal order and a logical order. Because it applies to our question about God's omniscience. Does God know everything that will happen before it happens? And the answer to that is yes. But is that what fixes the future? And my response is God's knowledge doesn't cause anything to happen. A knowledge of something is causally inert. Just knowing it doesn't make it happen. Knowing it indicates that the future is going to be a certain way, but why is the future going to be the way it is? It's because in the future, people make free choices that God knows in advance. So even though, now here's our language, even though God's knowledge of the free act is temporally prior to the act, it is the act itself that is done freely that is logically prior to God's knowledge of it. Does God know what we're going to do? Yes, he knows what we're going to do, but that is not what fixes the action. What fixes the action is the free choice we exercise in the present, and God simply knows what free choice we're going to exercise. He knows it in virtue of the exercise of the free choice in the future. His knowledge doesn't cause the future to take place. That's the point that I'm making. And therefore, God's omniscience is not it does not create a deterministic future. And if God's omniscience doesn't create a deterministic future, but simply knows the free choices of the future, there's no reason to go to open theism. We can hold our classical understanding of God's knowledge without sacrificing a robust understanding of freedom. By the way, there is another way of dealing with this problem that has to do with modal logic. And modal logic is the logic of necessity and possibility. And I'm not clever in that. William Lane Craig is, and some of you who follow Bill Craig, and I hope many of you do because he's really fascinating. On my drive back at 12:30 in the morning from the airport, I'm listening to his podcast at reasonablefaith.org. But he talks about these things, and he can give you the actual syllogistic forms to show that the notion that God's omniscience creates a deterministic future is actually a fallacy of modal logic, and you could actually see it spelled out there, and it becomes much more clear. I just cannot reproduce those things for you. You have to check with Bill. In fact, if you've listened to his podcast, you might be aware of this formulation. For the rest of us who don't traffic in that, which would include me, I think the explanation that I just gave you is an adequate one to help you to see that omniscience doesn't cause a condition of determinism, because knowledge of the future doesn't make the future what it is. What makes the future what it is are free actions in the future, which are logically prior to God's knowledge of the future, even though his knowledge is temporally prior to the actions. Could people do other things in the future? Sure, they could do all kinds of things in the future, but whatever it is they are going to ultimately choose to do in the future, God knows it for a certitude in the past. There you have it.